Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children, except for the senior class, to their Sunday school at this time. And I'd like to bring Brother Richardson to this pulpit, and I'm anxious to hear what's going on in Madagascar. I know Brother Putnam has been down there at least once, maybe twice, and great things are happening. And it's good to look outside of our little community, find out what God is doing. When you're a small church, you think that everything is small. And that's why conferences are so important, to see that there are a lot of other people who believe exactly the way we believe. Amen. Glory to God. So will you welcome Brother Madagascar, Brother Richardson. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in church this morning? I don't know if this is normally how it feels in here every Sunday morning, but I sure hope so, because it feels good in here this morning. Amen. We're not just going through the motions. We're not just fulfilling some religious obligation. But we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We are the Richardson family, missionaries to Madagascar. And we're here to kind of educate you a little bit this morning and kind of give you a little bit of information about what the Lord's doing over there, share with you one of the greatest success stories of the missions program of the United Pentecostal Church. Madagascar has seen great revival, and we have been blessed to be a part of that as a family for a number of years now. We have some slides that we'll be showing throughout our talk, and we'll kind of give you a little bit of information about the country and about the people, and hopefully then you'll know just a little bit more when you leave here that it's not just some animated movie sitting on the store shelf, but that Madagascar really is a real place, and there's real people there, not just lemurs, but that we have a great church in the country of Madagascar. Now, we're the Richardson family, and if you'll go to the next slide, it'll show a picture of our family, a recent picture, and in that picture, it shows four of us, and there's only three of us here today. That's because our daughter is now in college. She started college this past fall. Cut off the lights to give a little bit better view there. This last fall, our daughter started in college, so it's just the three of us traveling. And our son, of course, he's got another year and a half, and he'll be coming back to the States to go to college as well. So, time just passes right on by. A lot of people would ask the question, where is Madagascar? And this next slide will show you just kind of where Madagascar is located. It's an island off the southeastern coast of Africa, and the easiest way to kind of get a good mental picture of where that is, you leave here and you head east, southeast, and you go, as far as you can in the U.S., and you'll come to the Atlantic Ocean. Then you cross right on across the Atlantic Ocean until you get to mainland Africa, run all the way across mainland Africa until you get to the Indian Ocean, and then run about another 250 to 300 miles out into the Indian Ocean, and you will have arrived at the island of Madagascar. It's about as far as you can get from here without starting to come back around the other side of the world. It's a long way away. Now, a lot of people then ask, well, how big is it? Because you heard it's an island. Well, don't let the word island deceive you. That is deceptive, because when we think of an island, we're thinking of something small. But Madagascar, as you'll see on the slide there, is roughly between the size of California and Texas, which would make it about four times larger than the entire state of Wisconsin. So it's a big place. And then you might ask, well, what about the people? How many people are in Madagascar? Well, they have a population of about 23 million people on that island, which would make it roughly about four times more populous than the entire state of Wisconsin. So it's a big place, got a lot of people there, but we're excited about what the Lord's doing there and the revival that's taking place in that country. Our church there is, Well, just this past month celebrated 44 years from the beginning of that church. It was my grandparents who originally felt the call to go to Madagascar. They felt that call in the early 1960s, but when they approached the missions board and said, God's called us to go to Madagascar, the board said, well, that's great, we're excited about that, but we're not ready to send anybody there yet. Would you go work in the Philippines instead? So they agreed, and they went to the Philippines. They worked there for about 5 years, then came back to the States, went before the missions board again, and this time the missions board said to them, said, we're ready to send someone to Madagascar now. Do you still want to go? And they said, yes, we do. We would love to go to Madagascar. So in 1969, they left the U.S. and went to Madagascar with their two youngest children. They had four children. The two older ones were already in Bible college at that time. In fact, my dad had already graduated from Bible college. But the two younger ones were still at home. And this picture here shows them as they got ready to leave and go to Madagascar. And when they arrived there, they arrived in the airport. They didn't know anybody. Nobody had invited them to come. There was no contact. So when they got to the airport, they got off the plane. They went through passport control. They went through baggage claim and customs. And they came out, and there's nobody waiting to meet them. They had to catch a cab, go find a hotel to stay in, begin to look for a home to live in. And they had to do this with a language barrier because in Madagascar, they do not speak English, not even bad English. You can go to some countries where they do use English. It might not be the English you're used to hearing, but you can at least kind of figure out what they're saying. But Madagascar is not one of those. They have their own language. It's called Malagasy, and it's the only place in the world that that language is spoken. So they actually had to wait till they got to Madagascar to begin learning the Malagasy language. And once they arrived there and they found a home to live in, they started studying the language. This slide here, I believe, if you'll go to the next one, it'll show my grandpa in the top left-hand corner as his way of really learning the Bible in Malagasy was to get his English Bible, his Malagasy Bible, his English notes, and then try to figure out how to get Malagasy notes from that. And he taught himself basically how to preach the gospel in a foreign language. And, of course, there shows him there preaching. And they said when he got up to preach, they didn't understand half of what he said. It didn't all quite come out right. But when he got up preaching and the anointing of the Spirit came upon him, even though they couldn't understand everything that he said, they could feel the Spirit moving and they could understand enough. And he gave enough scripture that they knew what he was saying was true. It was the Bible. And they felt that they had to agree because there was no way around it. So he'd get up and preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in that foreign language. And the church was born. They planted the first church in the garage of their home, the home that they were renting. They had converted that garage into a makeshift church. They had the actual first service in February of 1970, 44 years ago. And then, of course, they started opening up new churches after they got the first one going. And all the while, people were being baptized. This next slide will show you. Sometimes they baptized in the creek. Sometimes they baptized in the little baptismal tank that they built back behind their house. And then once they were having churches, building baptismal tanks there. The next slide will show you our first official church building. I believe it was 1973. They were able to purchase this truck garage and convert it into a church. They went from a garage underneath their home to a big truck garage. And so it was still a garage, but it was church. And that building that you see there, that we're still using that building today. It's our headquarters church even till today. Of course, like you've done here, they've modified and expanded. They've taken out the back wall and went out that way and went up with multi-level of Sunday school wing and a balcony. And then this wall over here was the edge of the property, so they couldn't go any farther that way. Same thing with the back wall here, but this wall, they still had some property on that side, but it was kind of angled, so they knocked out that wall and angled it out as much as they could that way. This is stuff that we've just done more recently. In the beginning, it was big enough for them to go for a number of years till we had to do those expansions, but we're still using the building today. And we've got a church now that will seat about 1,500 to 2,000 people, and it's full every Sunday as the people gather and worship the Lord. And so we're thankful that that property is still being used. Something my grandpa realized from the very beginning, that the key to reaching Madagascar would be in training. You heard their promotion for the Bible school. That will actually be our second Bible school. We are endeavoring to have a Bible school in every region, but right now we just have the one in the center of the island that my grandpa originally started. But even before they started the Bible school, he realized that the way to reach Madagascar would be by training. So here you see a picture of some of the early converts as they were being trained to be witnesses, to be soul winners, and several of those went on to become pastors and went through the actual real Bible school program once that got going. And he realized, you know, he was only one person, there was only so much that he could do, but if he could train others and multiply himself that way, then he would effectively reach the nation of Madagascar. And then my grandparents labored there alone for about almost seven years, and then in 1976, some reinforcements arrived. And that was none other but my parents, and of course I was still just a little kid at the time, the Jerry Richardson family, along with their two young children, Chris and Jerry. And the next slide will show a picture of what we looked like when we first got there. Little bitty thing. And that was, you know, how many years ago? A long, long time ago. And then the next picture will show just a few years later when we came back to the States for our first deputation, how the family had grown a little bit. In 1981, the health issues that my grandparents were facing meant that they had to leave Madagascar. And at the time, you know, I was just a kid, about 10, 11 years old. I didn't really understand everything that was going on. I just knew they had to leave. Today, if I were to be in that position, I know how difficult it must have been for them to have to leave Madagascar. Something they have felt God had put the call on their life. They had finally got there, not as quick as they wanted to, but when they finally got there, and then they were only able to be there for just over 12 years, fulfilling the call. It had to have been difficult. But fortunately, when they came back to the States, the Lord blessed them, and they were able to pastor again in the States, and they retired that church, moved back to their homeland in Kentucky, and ended up pastoring again. And he pastored up until just a few years before he passed away. And my grandmother's still living in Kentucky and active in the church. Even though she can't get around very good, she goes to church faithfully. And the church treats her well, and they love the Lord. I mean, when we get with her, and even before my grandpa passed away, we'd get with him and start talking. And my grandpa couldn't remember all the details of everything, but he sure could remember Madagascar. And he'd talk about what the Lord had done in the beginning works of Madagascar. Well, then I came back to the States, went to Bible college, and got married in 1994. You'll see a young couple. This was actually a few years after 1994, but a young couple went to Madagascar, and that would have been my wife and I 20 years ago. I know we don't look that old, but 20 years ago. And during that past 20 years, our daughter was born in Madagascar. While we were on the AIM program, our son was born while we were on our first deputation, born in St. Louis. And it's hard to believe that really 20 years has gone by. But then when you look back and you see what the Lord has done, to see the revival that's taken place in that country. And the next slide will show you in a scene, a group of people in the altar. And this isn't just anybody. These are preachers. This is just ministers gathered in the altar, praying for one another, encouraging one another to continue to reach out to that nation. Currently, we have right at 900 churches scattered around that island, 900 licensed ministers pastoring those churches, and somewhere around 200,000 believers in this wonderful truth. So we thank the Lord for what's happening in Madagascar. Amen. And I know a lot of people, when they hear figures like, you know, 900 churches, 200,000 believers, they're like, wow, that's great. What else do you want? And I guess it's pretty good, but not nearly good enough. Because all you have to do is compare 200,000 constituency to a population of 23 million. And if you're any good at math, you'll realize that's not even 1%. 99%+ of Madagascar is still lost, and they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's why we're committed to going back and to doing everything that we can to ensure that others will have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to have their lives changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to ask my wife to come and to greet you, give you a little bit more information about Madagascar, share a few more slides with you, and tell you ways that you can connect with us and what we're doing over there.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and just to magnify and exalt the name of Jesus. And I was thinking as we were worshiping and singing in the beautiful presence of the Lord that we felt earlier this week, I was reading several psalms and kept talking about the oceans and the trees and the mountains crying out to their creator. And I was reminded of the verse that talks about, you know, if we don't worship, then the rocks will cry out. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a rock taking my place, because God has done so, so very much for me just in the last few days. I mean, you don't even have to go back to all of my life and the many things that he's done for me. But just today, every day, he is good. And I'm just so thankful that we are free to worship him and free to exalt and magnify his name. And it's just good to be with you today and to represent to you the land of Madagascar, the land of the lemurs. And we are quite famous for our monkeys, and we don't have any of the other wild animals that Africa is famous for, but we do have our lemur and a beautiful monkey-like animal that's found only in Madagascar. And Madagascar is a mixture of African and Asian cultures. The first immigrants who came over many, many, many generations ago were actually from a Malaysian, an Asian background. And through the years, the African culture has mixed in with that. And so, right, it's just kind of a mixture of the two. But because of the Asian influence, you see the rice terracing, as is shown on the slide, that shows a very familiar Asian scene if you've seen pictures from an Asian culture. And so that is part of what the influence of the Asian culture that we have. But the people in Madagascar are very friendly people, very open and receptive to us as Americans, but they're very poor. And just to give you a comparison to our economy and what the money that we are accustomed to, minimum wage in Madagascar is about $1 a day. So for $30 to $35, that is a good salary for a full-time job. And so they don't have a lot of money, very simple lifestyle, very hard workers, though. Many of them are farmers doing what they can to provide for their family in whatever way they can to make some money or provide food and whatever. But people often ask us while we're traveling, we get asked lots of questions. And one of the questions that we're often asked is, what do they eat in Madagascar? So this next slide will show you one of a very common meal that they would have there, because they eat rice. They eat rice three times a day if they can afford it. Most of the time, they'll just have a big plate of rice, or as this slide shows, maybe a little something to go along with it. And this one, you may not be able to see it very well, but it's beans and pork, a mixture, their version of pork and beans, I guess. It tastes a whole lot better than what comes out of a can, but that is something that they would just one of their favorite meals. And we can get a lot of the same fruits and vegetables and meats there as we're accustomed to here in the States. So we don't eat rice three times a day, but we are able to make a lot of the normal American foods if you can make it from scratch. We don't have any American businesses there, no American restaurants, no American, no Walmart, no McDonald's, no anything like that. Probably better off without it, but you do miss it, trust me. When we get back to the States, those golden arches just look so good. But that used to be one of the first things we did when we landed, left the airport. We'd go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and get a supersized fries and a supersized Dr. Pepper. But no, we don't have any of that in Madagascar. But God is blessing. We are seeing great revival. My husband already shared with you. Just in the last few years, for the last 4 or 5 years, every year we've had between 20,000 and 25,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just growing by leaps and bounds, and it's amazing to see what God is doing throughout that country. For our family, we don't actually pastor a church. We have the national pastors that are pastoring the local congregations. But we work with the leadership of the church, as is shown on this slide. working with what we feel like is the core, and we can invest in them through leadership training and different things. The front, seated across the front, is our national board, and then behind them, standing with my husband, are the departmental leaders that work throughout the island. And so we travel working with ladies ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, Bible school, and printing. Those are all things that we are involved in, doing whatever we can just to encourage and strengthen the churches through ministry and training. And so that's something that we're very involved in. The Bible school has already been mentioned several times this morning, and that is our greatest area of involvement. It was started in the beginning with my husband's grandparents, and then through the years, the missionary team has continued to work in that, investing. You see a picture here of my husband teaching in our Bible school, and it's an ongoing Bible school. It's a two-year program for men who feel a call of God on their life to be a pastor or an evangelist. Our Bible school is very focused on pastoral training, and we have other courses for Christian workers and things like that. But for those that feel a call of God to be preachers, they can come to our Bible school, and they're there for 2 years training before they graduate and go out. And every year we have between 35 and 40 graduates, but we feel like that's not enough to keep up with the growth and the things that we're seeing. And so that's why we are looking to expand and start a second, third, fourth, and eventually we would love to have a Bible school in every region. So that is just our heartbeat, a few things that we're involved in, just to kind of give you an idea. When service is over, please feel free to talk to us. I believe we'll be enjoying some of this wonderful chili, and so please come and just talk to us, and if you have any questions, we're happy to answer those. But we do thank you for your support for Global Missions. Today we're talking about Mother's Memorial. Our family has benefited from that, been very blessed by Mother's Memorial. They provide us a washing machine and a dryer and refrigerator and a stove, and I'm thankful for those things every day, because if I didn't have that, I would be doing like the Malagasys do, and they have to go down to the creek and wash their clothes. Thankfully, we don't have any of this lovely white stuff over there because it's warm, so our water doesn't freeze over. But they have to wash their clothes in the river, they have to cook over an open fire, and they don't have a refrigerator to keep things cold. So we're very thankful for Mother's Memorial. She's for Christ is also something that blesses, and we have a slide here showing the very first She's for Christ vehicle in Madagascar some many, many years ago. My husband's grandfather, that was the first one that they received back in the 1970s, a little Renault. And through the years, we have been blessed by She's for Christ that provides vehicles for missionaries. And the next slide shows a more recent one, our truck that we had last term. And there you see the Bible school students. They had been working and doing some work with the truck, and then they just kind of all piled in the back just for some fun pictures there. But it has been a great blessing to our family. And we do thank you for the many ways that the church here in North America blesses missionaries. And we do appreciate your prayers. There's, you know, money is important, but there's places that money can't go that prayer can. And so we have some prayer cards if you like to. I know a lot of people like to keep these in their Bible or put them on the refrigerator or on your desk, whatever you like to do. And we have them on the entranceway on the entry table there in the main foyer. And also we'll have some in our hands when service is over. So if you want to take one of those, they're just free. Take one, pick one up, and you can remember to pray for our family and for the country of Madagascar. We do thank you for allowing us to be here today and just share with you a little bit about what God is doing in Madagascar and a long way from here on the other side of the world, but God is doing great things, and we're just thankful to be a part of it. Before I'm seated, we will sing a chorus for you in Malagasy. People are often curious about the language, and so we found that it's just easiest to just sing and let you hear what it sounds like and see if you can pick out any words. There should be at least one that you'll recognize, and just to let you hear what it sounds like today. Rehefam sainani fatsaran Jesus yo, Cesare chanatoni tami q, te yonsu mafiawe, hallelujah, isora quasi ni famundeni ai. Rehefam sainani fatsaran Jesus yo, Cesare chanatoni tami q, te yonsu mafiawe, hallelujah, isora quasi ni famundeni ai. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Amen. As my wife mentioned there, when service is over, please come and talk to us. Ask us any questions. Pick up one of those prayer cards. And actually, on the prayer card, you'll find how to link to our Facebook page. We've got a ministry page on Facebook, so if you're a Facebooker and you like to keep up with what's going on around the world, then you can go to that page and like it, and if you like it, then you'll see when we post updates and reports of what's going on, it'll show up in your news feed, and so you can link to us that way. We do have our personal pages, but we normally keep those just for linking to personal friends and family, but we use the ministry page to keep people up to date with what's going on in Madagascar. So like that and follow what's going on in Madagascar. I want to go to the Word of the Lord. I don't think any service is really complete without a little bit of preaching. So for the next 3 hours, I want to speak on the subject. Don't worry, I'm not going to take that long. If you have your Bibles and you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 16. A very familiar portion of Scripture. It's one of the versions of the Great Commission. The different Gospels kind of tell it a little bit different from one another. They're saying the same basic thing, but the way they worded it was just a little bit different. But here in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we find how Mark retold what the Lord was telling his disciples. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So here we find one of the iterations of the Great Commission, and in a service like today, a missionary service, it's probably one of the most used portions of Scripture. Because right away it draws our attention to the world. He said, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe we believe that today. You know, I feel that we really grasp that that is our responsibility as a church and as each and every individual within a church, is to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in our world. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Today, if all I do is put a burden in you for Madagascar, then my time was not well spent. I feel that once this service is over, and I think probably many of you already participated in the Bible School project, maybe some of you are just now deciding, and maybe when you see the video here in just a few minutes, then you'll decide, you know, I also want to be involved in that, and that's great. You can still make that happen. Maybe you decide that you want, through this local church, you want to give on a monthly basis to support our family and the cause of reaching Madagascar with the gospel. But if that's all I accomplish when I'm here, then it's been time wasted. Because my desire this morning is that through sharing with you what the Lord's doing in Madagascar, that it will stir up in you not just a burden for Madagascar, but also a burden for right here at home. And that as the Word of God speaks to our hearts, then we'll realize that yes, Madagascar is part of all the world. And from where we're at, it's the far part of the world. But that also our community, our neighborhood, our workplace, our school, wherever we go, it's also part of all the world. And everybody that we come in contact with personally is a part of that every creature that was mentioned there in the scripture we read. So the gospel must be preached all around the world to everybody. So while we might be looking specifically at Madagascar, we need to get a fresh new burden for the lost in general. We can never overemphasize the importance of sharing the gospel. That is what we are to be doing. That's what each and every one of us need to find more time to do. We find a lot of excuses as to why we can't do it, but those excuses really won't hold up. All they do is make you feel better for just a little while. But there's a world out there that's waiting on us, the true church, the church proclaiming the true and full gospel. They're waiting on us to share what we know and what we have with them so that they can be delivered from the world that has them bound. Jesus wants everyone to hear the gospel or the good news of salvation. In the day and age we live in, there's a lot of talk about rights. You know, there's a lot of rights that we here in America enjoy that other countries do not enjoy. They don't have the same freedoms and liberties that we do. And we're blessed to be a part of the United States and have those liberties and those freedoms that we have. But we have to realize that the rights that we enjoy, for the most part, while even some of them might be based on biblical principle, they're still just man-made rights. It's when in the foundation of our nation, people got together in a room and they discussed and they fussed and they probably cussed a little bit until they could come up with a list that the majority would agree upon and sign. And then they went about adding amendments as they added to those rights. And, you know, they've given us as U.S. citizens certain things that we can enjoy. Of course, this process hasn't stopped, and now they're in the stages of trying to put forth some rights that are totally against God's word and God's plan. And we don't agree to those. We don't accept those. But that's just part of the nature of the system that we have. But they're not God-given rights, even the good ones. They're man-made. But there are some God-given rights. And one of those rights would be the right that everybody on the face of the earth has to be saved. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he died and paid the price not just for a select list of people. But when he died on the cross of Calvary, he paid the price for all mankind everywhere. So it's a right that everybody has, not because of who they are and what good they may have done personally. No, it's in spite of who they are. It's because of who he is and what he's done that everybody has a right to be saved. Amen. Doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter who they are. They have a right to be saved. And a right that goes hand in hand with the right to be saved is what we found there in Mark chapter 16. They have a right to hear the gospel. Because Jesus, when he made the statement, "Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," that statement, that commission right there, made it a right for everybody on the face of the earth to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's not going to send an angel out of heaven to come and preach the gospel. But he has us, the church, here on the face of the earth to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so that our world will hear it and that they'll believe it and that they'll be obedient to it and that they'll be saved. Paul makes a statement in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Here he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I'm not ashamed. I'll proclaim it. I'll share it. Why? Because that gospel that I have, that truth that I've seen and become a part of, that gospel is what will set people free. That gospel is what will bring salvation to everyone that will believe in it. And to prove that he really meant everyone, he said to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or as some translations would say, to the Gentile. And in a Jew's mind, there's only two types of people. There's the Jew, and then there's everybody else, the Gentile. But Paul said this gospel and this salvation, it's available to everyone, whether they be Jew or whether they're not Jew. It's for all. And if you skip on down to chapter 10 and verse number 12, he reemphasizes that fact. Romans chapter 10, verse number 12, he says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So he says, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or what language you speak or what status of life you may have attained, how much money you have or how little you have. None of that makes any difference because he's the same Lord over all. And whoever will call on his name shall be saved. Praise God. But then he starts asking a few questions. Verse number 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If they've never believed in him, how are they going to call on him? And of course, if they don't call on him, how are they going to be saved? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So if they've never heard about him, how are they going to believe in him? And if they've never believed in him, how will they call on him? And what hope do they have to being saved? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If someone doesn't proclaim it to them, how are they going to hear it? And if they don't hear it, how will they believe it? And if they don't believe it, how are they going to call on him? And if they never call on him, there's no hope for their salvation. And the first part of verse number 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Now I know probably your first reaction right there would be in a service like this, say, well, that's you right there, Brother Richardson. You've been sent. The United Pentecostal Church International has sent you as a missionary to the nation of Madagascar. And yes, that is part of it, but that's really not what that's saying. But I like to tie that back into what we read in Mark, the Great Commission. And that commission wasn't just for those disciples that were present there that day, but that's the same commission we live under today, and that's what responsibility we have today. So when he said go to all the world, he wasn't just speaking to those disciples, but he was speaking to us almost 2,000 years later. We've been sent. All of us. Once we've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. The power of the Holy Ghost, when we receive his Spirit in us, it enables us, it should empower us to be a witness to the world that we live in. And a lot of times it does in the beginning. You've seen a new convert, how on fire they are and how they're so willing to share with those around them. But something happens after they've been in the church for a while and they get comfortable and they get in a routine and they start forgetting about a world that they were delivered out of and out of people out there that need to hear the gospel. And they get comfortable with coming to church and feeling like what we feel here today and forget to share the gospel with those that they can. How shall they preach except they be sent? We have been sent to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so that when they hear it, they'll believe it. And when they believe it, they'll call on Jesus. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. We need to have the heart of Jesus Christ working within our lives. Matthew chapter 9. Beginning with verse number 36 in closing, and then we'll show you a presentation on Madagascar. But this is the heart that was in Jesus when he saw the crowd of people. Verse number 36 says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I declare to you today, there's no shortage of harvest that can be had. Wherever you go, it's a harvest field. Where you work, where you shop, where you live, where you study, wherever you go, there's a harvest field. The Lord didn't say there was a shortage of harvest. He didn't say pray that there would be a harvest. But what he said is pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. The only thing that limits the harvest that we see is the amount of laborers, the amount of workers that go into the harvest field and bring the harvest in. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. When is the last time we truly did have that prayer, make that our prayer? I've heard too many people, and I try not to, you know, eavesdrop when people are praying, but sometimes it just jumps right out at you, doesn't it? And I've heard too many people over the years pray, Lord, send us revival. And while I understand the heart is pure and it's a true desire within, I think maybe that prayer is a little bit out of whack, because he didn't say for us to pray that way. He said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. Maybe we're afraid to make that prayer, because we're afraid there might be a clap of thunder in the sky and a big, deep, booming voice come out of the heavens and say,
what about you?
And then we can no longer ignore the obligation and the commission. Oh, I pray that today, as we see what the Lord is doing in Madagascar, that we'll realize, yes, there's great revival happening there, but there's great revival ready right here at home. Amen. In your neighborhood. Amen. People around you in our world is waiting on us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I want to do my part. How about you? Amen. For our family, that means going back to Madagascar. He's probably not called you to Madagascar. If he has, you better start getting ready. You'll never be content. You'll never be at peace if you're not in the center of his will. But if he hasn't called you to Madagascar, he's got someone right here that in this year you can reach someone else. Someone can find truth because of what you do. As simple as you might think it is, you don't have anything, you know, fancy or complex to offer anyone. It doesn't matter. Just give them the simple gospel. The good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how they can apply that to their lives by repenting of their sins, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost that comes with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's the gospel our world is waiting on. And we need to do our part in sharing Jesus with them. We'll show you a presentation on Madagascar, and you'll find out a little bit more about the country and the people and their interesting form of religion. But then you'll also, at the end of this presentation, really see what it's all about. And that's people in an altar, repenting of their sins, and being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's what it's all about, people, bringing people to that experience. Amen. Amen. Worship the Lord together while we see what's happening in Madagascar.
fana futa na ua.
O avi,
o avi.
Boa via,
boa via, boa via, boa via,
no, no finer place to start than to talk about what has happened over the last 4 years in Madagascar. In the last 4 years, over 100,000 people have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is phenomenal. It is just wonderful to see what God is doing. Missionary Chris and Paula Richardson, along with the national leadership, have done an outstanding job making sure that the revival continues and the blessings of God are continually poured out upon that work. It's a long ways from where it started. My dad and mother went there with no believers, no contacts. They didn't have any idea even how to communicate. But God used them through studying the language, finding people that were hungry for the gospel. Never forget my dad talking about walking down the streets of the city of Antananarivo. In his hand, he carried English tracts to a people that did not speak English, but he would stop literally hundreds of people throughout the day. Do you read enough English that you could study the Word of God? And through this, contacts were made, people began to be won. And today, we look at the glorious move of the Holy Ghost. Somewhere well over 800 preachers, near 900 churches, and God continues to move. It just goes to prove that when we will allow ourselves to do what the scripture said, if a grain of wheat will fall in the ground and die, it will multiply. It will bring forth many. We're so thankful for what God is doing in Madagascar.
If you were to ask, what is the national religion of Madagascar? The answer would be simple. It is ancestral worship. This religious practice includes a ritual called Famadiana, in which they go to the family tombs and exhume the remains of some of their esteemed ancestors for a time of celebration. Let us take a brief look at the Famadiana ceremony, or turning of the dead. The Malagasy people believe that there is one supreme creator God. However, they don't think that they can have direct access to him. They feel that it's their departed loved ones who are in God's presence that will mediate between the living and God. The Famadiana is one of the things they do in order to show the ancestors their love and respect. It is a time for the people to portray joy at being reunited with their beloved ancestors. Even the babies and children participate in the festivities. This is a day of feasting, of music, and of dancing. The alcohol flows freely. One by one, esteemed ancestors are removed from the tomb. They are passed from relative to relative. Everyone wants to be close to their ancestors. It is highly unusual to see someone shed a tear at the Famadiana ceremony because they would not want their ancestors to think that they were sad. This day of jubilation ends with the rewrapping of the remains of their ancestors in fresh, raw silk cloths. They are then returned to the tomb to await the next time that this ritual is performed in a few years. Aren't you glad that you don't have to hope that your ancestors will take your prayer request to God for you? Aren't you glad to know that you have direct access to Jesus Christ? We are not bound by paganistic man-made rituals, but we have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Madagascar is the land of our family's calling. People need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can help make this a reality. Here are some special projects that need one-time donations. Can you make a sacrifice to see that we are fully funded in these areas? Also, we ask that you become a partner in missions with the Chris Richardson family and the nation of Madagascar. Your faithful financial support will assure that Madagascar can continue to be reached with the gospel. Thank you for allowing us to share our burden and calling with you. May God richly bless you for every sacrifice that you make for global missions.
praise for what's happening in Madagascar and around the world. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Madagascar and the souls that you've reached around this world, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to give you the opportunity. If you feel like the Lord has been dealing with you about being more actively involved in reaching out, and not just Madagascar, but really reaching out right here at home, and you feel like that you have had the excuses and you have kind of let down a little bit on being a witness to those around you, but you want to commit yourself to the Lord afresh today, then I invite you to leave where you are and let's just spend a few moments up here at the front around this altar as we recommit ourselves once again to the great commission of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world that we live in. We still have time. It's not done yet. This world is not over with, but there's still time for us to be actively involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone around us and to making an impact in their life. You never know the result of what you're doing. The church in Madagascar today stands because someone in a factory in Cincinnati, Ohio, witnessed to my grandpa who was a drunkard. And the Lord dealt with him and spoke to him. And my grandpa couldn't ignore the truth that this person shared with him. And so he repented of his sins and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And God called him to be a preacher. And he evangelized. And he planted several churches here in the U.S. And then the Lord called him to be a missionary. And he went to the Philippines and helped in some of the beginning stages of that work. And then went to Madagascar. And because someone just like you took the time to witness and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone that they worked with in a factory, today we have a church of over 200,000 believers in this wonderful truth. You never know, the one that you witness to, the one that you share the gospel with, might be the next one God calls to be a missionary and open up some country that hasn't yet been open to the gospel. And while you feel that what you do is so small and insignificant, the Lord can take that and 40, 50 years from now, should the Lord tarry, there be a mighty work, a testimony of your witness and your willingness to share the gospel. Oh Lord, use us for your kingdom. Let us be a tool in your hand, Jesus, to reach out to those around us, Lord God, that through our witness and through our life that we can make an impact on someone and that they can be set free from bondage and that they can know you, Jesus, that they can experience you in their life just like what we have. Lord, forgive us of all the excuses that we have made. Forgive us, Lord, of the laziness that takes control every so often. And Lord, I pray that you'll stir us up and shake us up once again to share your gospel. Oh Lord, and the mighty hope that's in that gospel to the world that is without hope. There is hope in you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to do your work.